Anyway, I thought you'd appreciate it. Yeah, I do. Okay, we're up to the new Pedic, and let's go. Sorry, the goddess is over. Almona lekoyin godel. If Almona married a koyin godel, it's an isalav. Or a grusha v'chalutza lekoyin hegit, a divorcee, or a chalutza hegit, which is an isalav. Now, the din is, of course, that she becomes a cholom. When a woman marries a man, she brings an assets into the state. There's two ways of bringing in assets. One is called Nichse Meluga, one is called Nichse Tzem Barzel. Nichse Tzem Barzel means that the assets are strong, like metal. They remain static. They remain the same. How? Basically, what happens with Nichse Tzem Barzel is that the husband takes control, and he guarantees the wife that he will give her he'll give her the asset back exactly for the same value it was when he took it. It's Barzel, it's like a piece of metal, stays the same. So if it goes up in value, fixed asset, right, they fix the price, and that's what he'll give back to her when they leave. And if the value goes up, the value goes down, it's all on the husband's loss. It's almost like his property. Nichse Melugis literally means plucking. He plucks from it. You pluck a chicken? Because the asset still belongs to the wife completely, but he will work on it in order to improve it, and therefore any losses or gains is the wife's. So it's a loss, it's her loss, but at least he will eat the paytas, he will get the dividends for the time that he invested in this property.
And if it's in Basel, he doesn't get the paytas?
No, he gets the property itself. It's like his. Sorry? If they divorce. Yeah. Or passes away and does it go back to her family or...
So she's got a right as to who to the
Irish. Yeah, yeah. Well, soon see, let's say there's no children. Who does it go back to? Okay, now. She brought into the marriage slaves. Some of them came in as a Tzim Barzal, some of them came in as a Nichse Meluk. Avde Meluk, since they're really hers, not his, they cannot eat Truma. Because since she herself is living in sin, so she cannot be Mazaki, her Avadim, eat Truma. But Avde Tzim Barzal are considered his, they do eat. The Elohein Avde Meluk, what's the definition of Avde Meluk? If these Avadim died, whose loss is it? They're her loss. And if there was any benefit, who gets that benefit? It's hers. Even though that the husband still has to feed them, but who owns the etzim, the essence of it is the wife. Then they cannot eat truma. It's kinyan kaspei. That's what we'll discuss here, why they don't eat truma. They belong to him as well, to a certain extent. What's the same basil? It's his loss. Because he fixed the price in the thing. Each ever is worth $100. If the ever died, he still has to give her back $100 by the ksuba. These are what he's suddenly became worth more money. It's his benefit.
During the 6 years, can we say to him?
Of course. How come women in the olden days had... They have kinyan guf, what?
Inherited from her father.
Hari elu yechlu truma. They eat truma. Okay. Bas Yisroel, she needs a koyin. What about a Bas Yisroel that married a koyin? There's no chol here, there's no avedi here. Normal case. Nechnisa le'avodim, she brought in a servant. Bein avdim lo ben etzim. Since nothing was wrong, there's no chalol here. Then had the eli yechmet, all them are entitled to eat truma. They're all entitled to eat truma, because why not? Even her avdim look that are technically hers, since the baal bust, the husband, also has a chelik in it, because he gets the dividends. So it's considered kinyan kaspei. Because and therefore they're all entitled to eat truma. Bas koyin shenises Yisrael. What about fakert? The bas koyin that married a Yisrael, where she no longer eats truma. Vechnisa le'avodim bein adam bein adam bein bas. Ain't a lo yechu truma. Just like she doesn't eat truma, neither avodim. Says the Gemara. Let's understand. Because he did not avodim as much as she did. Says the Gemara. In fact, the machlekes are poskim if the veda is on her as well. The Torah says he is not allowed to marry these people.
Yeah.
The machlekes are poskim
him.
Because that's not a veda; that's a state of being. The mamzer didn't do any veda. If the mamzer is not the parents, the one who did the veda, it's a children of the mamzer. Says the Gemara.
But you can still call him up to Kohen, can't you, if he's married a grusha? Can you call a Kohen up as married a grusha? Still a Kohen?
Kohen married a grusha? No. Koyin and married a grusha, he doesn't become a chol, but because koyinim, it says that any aveda that he did, which is aveda of kuna, he cannot do aveda. But luchedi could come to the gilgalter, but that doesn't lose his kuna. I don't think so. Maybe he's. I guess he could. I don't know. But the only way that they marry, that they get legitimately married, is by renouncing the kuna. That's what they do. I mean, that's the heter. But if you call that a heter. Ba'avde melug lo yechlu b'truma. Why not? Have a kikinyoni. The fact is, it still belongs to the husband. But we just said a minute ago, if it's a regular bas yisrael, then the avde melug do it because they belong to the kohen. So why, if she's a monitor kohen, a gadol or a grusha chuz or a hedjid, why don't they? Not don't eat through her, but eat through him. Shekana kinya. Tan we learn. Menayin lekoyin shenasi isha. Hain of a koyin marries a woman. The kana avodim, and she if they bought avodim, she yechlu forever. If a koyin buys avodim, how do you know that they're entitled to truma? Shenemer. It says in pasuk. The koyin ki yikne nefesh. When a koyin purchases a soul, kinyan kaspayu, it belongs to him. Yechal boyin, they can eat. So why can't over here? And Manayin, furthermore, how do you know the Isha she comes out of she herself with her own money buys Avodim while she's married to a Koyin? The Avodim she comes out. Furthermore, the Avodim, not only your wife, even the Avodim that he bought, who buy their own Avodim. Somehow or another, the Eved has money. We had him over the house. It's possible the Eved to have his own money. People give on the condition that the Balbos doesn't have a chelik in it. So if the Eved has his own money and uses the money to buy Avodim to himself, they're entitled to Trum as well. So Rashi explains that, but you, I can give the Isha something on it tonight that her husband doesn't get a chelik with. This is the famous Rashba who tries to explain Pshat. When we say Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi, does it mean that the Eved has no Yad at all? That it's the Rabbi's hand? Well, Pshat, it's a Yad is the Eved. When Yad Eved, you give it to the Eved first, and then from the Eved, it goes to the Rabbi. And he brings it out from here. The fact that you give to an Eved and make a condition that the Rabbi shouldn't take it proves that the Eved does have a Yad. But immediately the Yad goes to the Rabbi. But if I put a blockage there between the Yad Eved and the Yad Rabbi, it remains the Yad Eved. Same thing, Isha. Okay. That even his kinyan makes it purchase another kinyan also eats. And for digimara, very simple. Call her oichel machil. If the person who the cause of it can eat, then they can also have the effect eat as well. Since she's a chalala and she's not entitled to eat truma, so therefore her avadim can't eat truma. Says the Gemara, what about an oddle? What happens if, let's say, the kohen himself is an oddle? He didn't circumcise because two of his brothers died. So he's an oddle. The din is that he doesn't eat, and yet his avadim do eat. An oddle cannot eat truma. But he's avodah do it. So here, what do you tell me a rule called ein oichel, ein meichel? Here you have ein oichel, and yet meichel. The chol hatamei. What about a kohen's tummy? Mishas meisa, he can't eat truma. Yet his avodim and his wife can. She ein on oichel, and yet a machil. What's the chiluk? And for the gemara, what are you talking about? Hosam over there, pumayu koyavlu. Their mouth is hurting them. No, really, they could fix it up. All they have to do is get rid of the truma, malo themselves, and then they themselves have a potential to eat this external factor that prevents them from eating. Okay, so therefore, when it comes to the maicha, we look at the etzim. But over here, that they be etzim cannot eat. This wife is a chalala. She'll never be able to eat again. So then, how can she pass it on to the avodim? So anyone know? What about a hari mamzer? What about a mamzer? Sheinu oichel meichel. Now, what do you mean a mamzer? How can it be a mamzer? It's an interesting case. The wife, the koyin and the wife had a daughter. She's a bas koyin. She's entitled to truma. This daughter then married a mamzer and had a son or daughter. Makes no difference. Had a child. Then the koyin died. This and then the mother died. The daughter who was the mother of the child died. So now this grandson cannot eat truma because he's a mamzer. But the grandmother can because she's eating it through the grandson. This a child from this original koyin marriage. So she's entitled to truma. And surely
what you're saying is because the original flows from the father.
Yeah,
and the daughter who married a mamzer.
That's right. So even though the father's mom, and surely if the daughter married a Yisrael, surely the daughter married a Yisrael and the Yisrael died, the father of the Yisrael is alive, then the kid doesn't eat. But if the father of Yisrael died and the mother died, and the grandson is there, the grandfather's dead, then the mother eats through the grandson. The kid is, even though he's a mamzer, and that's the last mission of this parent. We'll see later. So he disproved.
Can't
can no longer eat truma.
For sheitzach, no.
But the
grandmother,
first day,
the grandmother.
That's right.
He's matir her. That's right. He's matir her. So oichul u'maychal. That's the point here.
He's the descendant.
That's right.
He's the trigger to allow her.
Yeah. Because it's called having zera min ha-koyin. We learn that from, if you have zera from the koyin, the zera allows the mother to eat. There's a zera here, the grandson, the mamzer. So therefore, that rule you just said, if you don't eat, you cannot feed others, obviously it's not true, because the grandson is not eating. He's a mamzer. And yet, or mamzeres, and yet the grandmother is going to eat because of her. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda gives another answer. He said like this. Kinyin, he said, what kind of kasha is that? I'm talking about kinyin oichul ka'amar. I'm talking about kinyin. Why does the avodim? Why do avodim eat? Because they are kinyin. Not that they're part of the koyin. They are belong to the koyin. Oh, by a kinyin, I say that if the person that's causing them to eat cannot eat themselves, nor can the kinyin eat. But when it comes to children, that is the koyin. As if the koyin is still alive in that grandson. That's different. Then even though the child themselves cannot eat, the mother, the grandmother could eat. And that's not the same thing. So my rule has not been disproven. By a kinyan we say, if you yourself eat, machil, you can cause others to eat. She'enu oichel, if you don't eat, enu meichel. But you're talking about zera is different. Okay, Rava gives another answer. Why is it that the woman who's a grusha cannot pass on the right to the avod? In luchayit belongs to the koyin. Mid the raisa meichelochi. No, I agree with you that matoide they belong kinyan kasper of the koyin, the avodim of the woman who she brought into the marriage. They should eat. The rabbanon of the gozer, rabban made a gezeira. What's the purpose of gezeira? Because they should time. She should go around saying, "What's going on here? I'm married to a koyin. Ani enu oicheles. I'm not allowed to eat." And Nach Nisha does, but Avodai Einu Oichlin. My Avodin can't eat. I'm treated like a pariah. I'm not his wife. Even my Avodin that work for him don't belong to him. I'm treated like some kind of a Zayna. Zayni Yetzle. Hichos Lefuki. If she's discriminated against, maybe she gets so angry, she says, "No, I'm divorcing him." And Baruch Hashem. So that's what we're trying to encourage. That she should be unhappy and she should walk out of the marriage. Because she's living in sin. Every minute they live together, they're living in sin. She's a divorcee and he's a Kohen. That's why. So according to this, Matayla, they are entitled. And Rav Ashi says, I agree with you also, Matayla, that she did the Vodmar, not like the first answer, that they're not entitled. They are entitled, but you know why we don't let the Vodmi Truma? Gezeira Shema Taichel Achamisa. We are worried that if the husband dies, she will continue feeding these Avodim. After the husband died. Now the truth of the matter is, once the husband died, they can no longer. Right. Yeah, if it would be Avdei Tzoyim Bazel belongs to the husband, why? Avdei Tzoyim Bazel belongs to the husband. So why do the Avodim eat because of the husband? Even the Koyin died. So what? It still belongs to the state, belongs to a Koyin, therefore they continue eating. But Avdei Melug, she's not a Talmud Chacham, she'll think the same thing about Avdei Melug, but it's not so. These are her Avodim. And the only reason why she's eating because her husband is giving her that right. The moment her husband died, she can no longer eat. So that's what Goy said.
So in other words, if this Goy died,
he has no children.
Yeah, he's got a grandson.
No, he has no children. There's no children. Zero children. Avdim Tzoyim Bazel will continue eating because they belong to the state. They're part of the Koyin's estate.
If she is a bas Koyinis.
We'll get to that in a second. If it makes us a gzeda, then forget about a grusha marrying a kohen. What about every single Yiddish woman who marries a kohen? She brings a vodim into the marriage. Why are we allowed the avdim maluk to eat? Let's say they didn't do anything wrong, but what happened? Her husband will die tomorrow, and she'll think that she continue feeding the avodim. What's the difference here? The fact that she's a grusha to a kohen hedyid that we say don't feed the avdim maluk because maybe the husband will die, and she'll think you continue feeding. And if it wouldn't be a grusha, be stam. Freddy Gemara, Elam, you have to go into this. Bas Yisrael shenisas lekoyin. If a Bas Yisrael married a coin, lo yisaychel, she shouldn't feed. Gzeidu shem etaychel lachemisha, the same gzeida. Ella Ravashi, this is your case. Almona kohenes. We're talking about a kohen, that this woman was a kohenes. First, she was a bas coin. So she truma her whole life. Then she married this kohen gadol, which she shouldn't have married, living in sin. Now here she'll think. And if you're going to say, since Mahatayda, her avodim are allowed to eat because of her husband, so then she'll eat in this case, she'll think when her husband dies, my avodim could continue eating because before I married this guy, my avodim ate because I was a bas koyin. Then they continued eating. So I go back to my normal life, I'm continuing eating as a truma, and my avodim as well. She doesn't realize that now she's a chalala, she's disqualified. She doesn't realize that part. Almona kehen is the asya loiru, she'll convince herself.
She would have
on her own. She can be doing what she can do her own thing.
She bought her own while in her father's rishus, she could still give the truma.
Yeah, yeah, she bought her own thing. Even father dead, a bas kohen eats truma. Kolzman, she didn't get married, a bas kohen on her own eats truma. Because she's entitled to.
Because she's entitled, not because he's some.
No, no connection to father.
To the father that
she's a kohen.
Okay,
Hennis.
Okay,
okay. That's right. Just, yeah. Now, if you were married to Yisroel when the husband dies, she goes right back to Bas Kohenis, and then she's a Kohenis, and she can continue to Truma.
Because
she's a
Chalala.
Yeah, because she's a Chalala, she can, and she doesn't realize this thing here. La Ruya, she clivizza me, Korda, Achli, but Truma, the Benosha, the Chatil, the Truma in my father's house, Intibet, Lahaya, married this guy, Ocha, continuing to Truma. The Gavroi, because my husband, Bahash the Hodulin Musa, now my husband died. I'm back to my original state, Kamaisa. But the Yaj doesn't realize the Mikore, Loy Shavisa, that's Chalala. You weren't a Chalala yet. Hash the Shavisa, that's Chalala. Now you're a Chalala. Zodigimore, Tainach.
Better off marrying Yisrael.
Yeah. Zodigimore, Tainach. This makes sense. Almona. Tainach, it makes sense. Almona, Kohenes. Okay, this makes sense by Almona, Kohenes. So, but Almona Bas Yisrael Ma'ikle Meimar. What about if she was a Bas? Let's say a regular Almona marries a Kohen Gadol. Okay, you gave me a good reason why Almona, who happens to be a Kohenis herself, why we don't allow her Avodim to eat because of a Gzeira. If we allow her to eat, she'll think, look, I ate Truma till now. I ate Truma while I was married. Now I'm back to being a single woman. I shall eat Truma. But let's say she was a Bas Yisrael Almona. The Kohen Gadol should never have married her. But she never, before she got married, if she would have had Avodim, she couldn't feed him Truma. So she knows that she only ate Truma because of her husband. Her husband died, so she knows she can no longer. So what's the Gzeira there? Why does the Mishnah say any Almona married a Kohen Gadol, you cannot feed Avodim? If she was a Bas Yisrael, no mistake can happen. Let her Avodim belong to the Kohen Kasboy, eat Truma while she's married him. Ma'ikle Meimer, everything. What about Manusa Lepligi? It was too difficult to start making law that some Almonas can, some Almonas can't. No difference. All Almonas are the same. So it's more interesting discussion now, a general discussion. Itma, we learn. Hamachneses Shein Lebaila. Okay, a woman brought in. Into a shoim. Shoim means a fixed asset. You worked out a value. That's called shoim barzel. She brings into the thing, she brings in a whatever it is, a property. It's worth $500. In the ksuvah, you're right. You have you brought a $500 property into the thing. Whenever we divorce chas v'shalom or whatever, somebody passes away, chas v'shalom, we will give you $500 back. So who owns the property v'shas ma'isa? The husband. Any losses, any benefits, any gains? The husband's. The question is, who actually owns the property now? Who really owns the property now? Because the husband has all the losses and all the gains. So, and how does it manifest itself? What happens when they divorce? Can he say, it says $500, here's cash. I want to keep the property. Or it's not his property to keep. Once they divorce, he must give her back the original property. That's the most question. She brings in this assessment and she says, Kelai ani noy teles, give me back my keli. Who oimed? He says, Domi mani noisen. No, I'm keeping it. Here's $500. Take it. Hadini me, who's right? So machlekes in the Amoraim. Rabbi says, Hadini ma. It's hers. At the end of the day, it's hers. Even though this guy is totally responsible, but it's hers. Rab Ami Amar Hadini ma. It's his. And therefore, he can just give her money. It's his choice. Why should it be that it goes back to her? Because this is the pride that she, her family, in other words, she brought it into the marriage. This is hers, so therefore, she can take it back. It's hers. His. We said, if the avodim died, whose loss is it? If the avodim died, it's the loss of the husband. In other words, it's as if it's his. That doesn't mean he has to take care of it. It's mamish his. Any losses, any gains are his. And such a kind of a chrayis is yoichlu. It's his. He can eat it.
If this is
truma, yeah, so clearly his. Yes, and Maloy got hers all the way.
Okay, but this so what's the purpose of putting the turn Basel in and putting the value if at the end it's his anyway?
What's the value? He has to give her cash. That's what I mean. You don't look 10 years later. 10 years later, divorce. The property then was worth $500. Now it's worth $5,000. Let's say he can keep the property, but he has to pay her. How much did he pay her? Today's value is $5,000. It's a fixed appraisal. The fact that it's hers. He brought it. It's her property. Even now it becomes his, but it's like a loan. He owes her the they make a fixed appraisal. It's worth $500 a day, the chasna, and that's what he has to give it back. Sorry?
The whole point was to protect the wife.
Of Tzoyin Barzel.
Yeah. And now when I'm in Gagel, the wife brings it to
her. It's her choice whether she wants to put it at Tzoyin Barzel or put it on Nezulah. It's her choice. The mile of Tzoyin Barzel is the husband will work a lot harder because all the gain is. Tzoyin Nizim Alog, it's a loss. It's her problem. It's a gain. She gets it. What I have from it. So I eat the paytas. But he has no benefit from the asset itself. So you work a lot less. You know, you only need $500 a week to live on. It's not worth to get $500 a week. She divorces. She got now a much better property. And if it's in Basel, he'll put a lot more effort into it. Which one? So Basel? Well, look. Of course he'll work hard. Exactly.
But in a sense,
yeah, but for him, Tzoyin Barzel is because he's totally trusting. She doesn't really benefit from it.
The
he's totally trusting. You know, my husband. What do we know? We're together.
What if it drops?
Are we going to have a joint bank account, or we're going to have a single bank account? Two different bank accounts. That's really the same thing. And how many women do you know that have double joint bank accounts? How many have separate? 5 years after they're married. Yeah.
It's a risk.
According to Rabbi Ami, that she gets, she basically forfeits her property. The moment she puts in the silver. That's right. Because she gets the money back. If they divorce, besides the silver, he has to give her back that money. Or he at least has a choice, give her back the money or the property. So that value. So what do you mean with Rai from the Mishnah that they can eat Ruma? Doesn't say that the Nichsim Tzoyin Barzel actually belong to the Kohen. It says Hoyel v'chai b'achrius, and he's responsible. What does being responsible have to do with ownership? You're blurring the lines here, but there's a big difference between responsible and being an owner. Says Gemara, who's the husband? What's Rav Ami saying that it's his? Says the Gemara, are you telling me? So that's the argument between the two. Says the Gemara, me. So you tell me, v'cholheicha dechai b'achriusim. Achli b'truma. You try and tell me that if I am totally responsible, it's as if it's mine, and therefore I can eat truma. I mean, that's what's in the pshat in the mission, right? The nichsei tzar bazel. The guy is totally responsible, and therefore the avoni can eat truma. Is that so? Whenever I'm totally responsible, do we say we treat as if it's mine? I can eat truma. But nah, didn't we learn in the Mishnah Yisrael shesochar porim koyin? For Yisrael rents a bull from a koyin. So who actually owns the bull? The koyin does. Had yachlena kashin truma. So you're allowed to give fodder from of truma to this animal. Because who owns the animal outright? The koyin. What about faket? Koyin shesocha porim Yisrael. If a koyin hires a bull from a Yisrael, who actually owns this bull? A Yisrael. But who takes responsibility of koyin? Afa pishim olav. Who takes responsibility? Who has to feed this animal? This koyin who hired it. Yet lo yachilena kashin etruma. Not allowed to feed it kashin etruma. Knows what is he clear from here? That even though I'm responsible, the koyin is responsible, he's not the owner. So what are you blurring the line between responsibility and ownership? Because the Baal is responsible for these avodim and nichat tzoyin barzel, therefore, and he can feed, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it's considered his. For the Gemara, it is. But what are you comparing? He, Nami, over in that case, what kind of responsibility when you hire something? What? How far does responsibility go? Basically, it's sort of a negligence, or sometimes I'm slightly responsible for the adverse impact on the animal. So therefore, yeah, so I'm not really. I've got no ownership. Is he responsible if an action happens? Is he responsible if the animal gets weaker or the animal gets better? It drops dead, whatever it is, or blows up. If it loses value. If it loses value, is this guy responsible? He has absolutely zero ownership in the animal. Of course, that's you don't need to remember. We're talking about over here, Banir Tzoyin Barzel, where the guy has total achrayis. Anything goes wrong, he takes responsibility as a wife that I'm going to give you back a $500 asset. So that if there's a flood and the asset gets ruined, he's totally responsible. That kind of responsibility blurs the lines, talk of ownership. And therefore, we consider the Balbaz the owner, and he has the breda whether he gives back the property itself or not. Says the Gemara Baita, holy damn you, if you want to take a compare ownership in our Mishnah to what's shot over here by renting El Sefer. Look at the Sefer of that Mishnah. It says, what about Yisrael, Yid, Shasham, Potter, Mekoyin, that he assessed the Potter of a Koyin? So even though he assessed it and he valued it and he's going to give it back exactly what it's worth, yet he cannot feed truma to this animal. Why not? Because who, at the end of the day, is the owner of this animal? Who owes owner of the animal? The kohen, Yisrael. So therefore, sorry, the other way around. For Yisrael, shown from a kohen, he cannot give truma, which means who's now the current owner of the animal? Who's now the, in other words, when you hired this animal from the balabos, you said the animal's not worth $500, I'm going to take this for 6 months and I'm going to give you back a $500 animal, which means that this now, the guy who rented the animal is taking ownership in a way, because any increase and decrease in value, whatever it is, I'm chayv. It's like a tzoy barzel.
If you rent the car and I say, well, I won't give you back this car, I'll give you exactly the same value car and so on, I'll give you back the car. That's
yeah, something like that. Yeah,
it's more than a rental.
Much more. I'm totally. It's just like in our case of a dichter in Basel. So then, since you're Yisrael, it's as if you took over ownership, and therefore lo yachlen, because you cannot terumah. So forget. We see from here that such a kind of responsibility means that you're now the current owner. It's like an insurance company works out with you a fixed value for your car. If it happens, this is what we're going to give it back to you. It's as if the insurance company actually owns the car. Avo koyin, shesham part of the Yisrael, but if a koyin works out that the owner was a Yisrael and a koyin is the one who comes up with this kind of an arrangement, he's allowed to feed it to him. Why? Because now he's the owner. So we see from here what? That this kind of a chayis taka makes you the owner.
So why do you got this rental in place in these circumstances? Have you got a right to sell this? Have you got a right to sell this animal and substitute some other animal?
What are we trying to say? We're trying to say here is that this doesn't prove you, Rab Ami, wanted to say because I take full value of anything else. I mean, this is mamish mine. We say no. Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't make it yours. That means that while I have it, I am totally responsible. It's like mine. I can feed a truma just like the baal over here can feed nichse tzayim basel ki truma. But when this arrangement is over, who really owns it? It goes back to the original baal bas. Just like when you hire a potter, you don't get to keep it. You got to give back the original potter to the baal bas. But since you take total responsibility, any losses, anything else happens, therefore you're allowed to feed truma to this animal because Bashat knows while the arrangement is taking place, it's mine. But as soon as the arrangement is over, it goes back to the original baal bas. So same animal. So the same thing here with this. That's Nichsan Baza says of Yehuda. Take while the husband is a good arrangement with a good with a relationship with the wife, he take owns the voting outright and everything else, and the itrum and so on and so forth. When that arrangement is over, he has to give it back to the wife because it's hers.
You can't give the money.
No, so that's the machlekes. Rabbi Ami says you could. Rabbi Ami says keep it. That's exactly the machlekes. Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yehuda.
So according to one who says
you can't
give back the item back, does that mean you're allowed to sell it?
No. You can sell it, but it's like I have to give it back to me when it's over. That's part of the machlekes. And we'll have the machlekes. You know we're going to have the machlekes in the beginning of Hamafkid. If the husband sells, say nichsim alug and say, what happens? Can the husband sell nichsim alug as long as they're related, and when they divorce, give it back, or he has no right to do that? And nichsim basel, you will see, you could sell. Rabbi sat after the shir of Rabbi Nachman, and they kept on discussing. Yossi come and sat there, and they continued talking. Tanya kavos abami mitaka fala brayse that supports Rabbi Yehuda, but Tanya kavos abami fala brayse supports Rabbi Ami. Tanya kavos abami fala brayse that supports Rabbi Ami as follows: who says that it belongs completely to the husband? Avdei tzayim barzel yoitzin b'shen va'ayin liish. If the man bang and knocks out a tooth of this eved, the eved goes free, as if the husband is the owner. If the woman knocked out a tooth of this eved, he doesn't go free, as if the woman no longer owns the eved. Who's now the owner? Only the husband. This is Mamash Rabami. It's his. Tanya Kavos Rabbi Yehuda. We learned like Rabbi Yehuda. If somebody brings it to the Baal, if he wants to sell, he cannot sell. Why not? Because if they divorce, who gets to keep the property? This is what you just told my mother. You get to keep property. It goes back to the wife. So how can you sell it now? You can't. It's not yours to sell. Klara Raya to Rabbi Yehuda that the Baal does not belong completely to the husband. Even the husband went further. he said, not only will I fix the appraise the let's say the property at a certain value, and I'll give it back to him in divorce. If he puts a property in opposite of saying her that if we divorce, you get to keep this property. He cannot even have his own property that he put into there. He can't put in there. If both of them sold it together, they agreed to sell it because they needed the money. You know, they fell on hard times. This happened with the Bingabuyal. He said that if the Baal can then take it back from the Kuchas, if the husband did it on his own, he had no right to. So of course he takes it back. He said, look, it wasn't even mine to sell in the first place. It belongs to my wife. But even if, let's say, and that's what he can do. Why? Because it's not really his. It's never a proper sale. Yeah. Why else would you sell property? Yeah. We had a Gemara in Kedushin that the first house you bought, you should never sell. Even if you move to a bigger house, never sell the first house. Because it's an Indian, they'll call it. We had Gemara Bamas that every person who doesn't have a house is not a thing. And this is the thing, this is the house that made you a person, that completed you. It's like Eishas Ne'urim, same thing over here. Omar Rav says, Rav, Omar Nachman, halachik Rav Yehuda. Look, Rav Yehuda does not belong to the husband, it actually belongs to the wife. Omar Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, but Tanya Kavosid Rav Ami, but didn't we learn another Braise like Rav Ami? Why did you decide halachik Rav Yehuda? Maybe halachik Rav Ami belongs to the husband. I forgot the Tanya Kavosid Rav Ami. Mistabr, it makes more sense. Time is Rav Yehuda. Why? She brought it in from her family's estate. Why should the family, her family, lose the property? Aitza, there was a woman, the Aila Leila.
If she took for what she yarshed and she bought things, I would say it's not directly from the family, that's still called Shvach
Mitzvah? Yeah, because the money came from there. Aitza was a woman, the Aila Leila Gavra that brought into her husband, Itzla the Milsa, she brought in some linen kind of a clothing which is very expensive. The Ksuvasa in a Ksuva, so this was like, wow, this is like Nichtsei Tzayim Basel, which we just paskin belongs to her. Shachiv, the husband died, so before she had a chance to take it back, Shaklu Yasmi, the Yisayimim took that shirt, Uparsu Amisna, and they used it like Tachrichim, and they spread it over the mess. Omar Rava says, Rava, even though Taka belongs to the wife, Kanya Misna, a mace is Koina everything, it becomes Asabahano. It's like Hegdish. Everything that you give to a mace is like Hegdish. We learn that in Mersin Hedjan, that it's all Asabahano. Omle Nenoi, interesting name. Breid Rabbi Yosef, Breid Rava. What kind of name is Nenoi? Nenoi, the son of Rabbi Yosef, Rava. There was an ayin. It'll be fascinating for somebody to work, to just compile all the names of the interesting names of Amoraim and work out the origin of these names. Anyway, the son of Rabbi Yosef, Rava, Lidav Kahan, Lidav Kahan, but why? But Amar Rava, Lach, Lach, Rabbi Yudah. Didn't we say Lach, Rabbi Yudah? Explanation of all these names, maybe. Didn't Rabbi Nachman, the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda that belongs to the wife. So what do you mean? The children have no right to take the thing. Why the children have no right to do it? And we have a rule, ain't Adam Oisad Dovash Ain Shaloi. So why can't she just take it back? Amalei Mila Maida Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda Maida that even though it has to go back to her, but Kozman, she didn't get it, it's not really hers yet. The Mechusa Gavaina. Kozman that she didn't take it, it's not hers yet. Taka, there's an onus on the husband's estate to give it back to the wife. But Kozman, they didn't. It's the husband's, and that's what we said before. With the animal, you can feed through him because the Rebbe Shas, while the relationship is going on, it's the husband's. The kiva the b'chusik gavayne, b'shusay koi. What do you say? What's it called?
In English, it's called
a
chose in action.
Chose.
Chose in action.
Yeah.
You need to do
a thing
together.
Okay. But yet there's an onus on you, but it hasn't happened yet. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, and Rav the Tamei, and Rav furthermore, he's consistent with his view. We'll finish the Gemara. The Gemara Rav says, Hegdish three. We already had the Gemara before that Hegdish. If I let's say put a lien onto a certain property and I say this goes towards your loan, there's three ways I can unravel that whole thing. One is Hegdish. If I turn around and I make this Hegdish, Kedushas Haguf, the Kedushas Haguf removes or usurps completely the lien that I put on the property. Because that's a chayv on me, but I just transformed the property. It's no longer mine. It belongs to Hegdish. Chametz comes Pesach, and I gave this bottle of alcohol. I said, this is going to be the lien. It becomes Chametz. It's Aspanos. The same thing is Shichra, an Eved. I better lean on the Eved. Then I'm free to Eved. The Eved now is kohen himself. Mavkiyim de shibud. So the same thing over here. That even though there's a shibud to the wife that you have to give her back this nichsei tzaren barzel, the shirt, for example. But if you took the shirt and gave it to me, you can ask why not. There's nothing left to give back to the wife. Stop picking your mind with the shirt.